Blog Talk Radio.
Precious moment that you have granted unto us, Father. Father, we want to lift up our sister Eleora and her family for losing their staple, their foundation, their rock, their family lost, who we call Pop-Pop. At 102 years old, Father, you finally called him, and you took your essence back from him, Father. You have many blessed memories of that man. He's wise and always had a kind word to say and always treated and greeted everyone with kindness, Father. His presence will be missed by us here at Beth Yahweh, the extended family of our sister Eleora. We ask, Father, that you comfort her and her entire family right now, Father, as they mourn the loss of their grandfather, father, great and great grandfather. And we thank you, Father, for blessing us with this day, with this moment, Father. We thank you for giving us your Torah, Father, for giving us your son, Yahushua, Father. We thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us along the way, Father. We thank you, Father, for your chastisement, Yahweh. We thank you for everything that you have bestowed upon us, Father. Most of all, your son, Yahushua, Father. We ask that you forgive us for our sins, Father, that we committed against you, Father, knowingly, unknowingly, Father, and in secret, Father. And we just ask that your presence be here at Beth Yahweh, Father. Because today, even though some may be mourning, Father, it's still a Shabbat day, Father. It is a blessed day, Father, to give praise to you, Father, and to lift our voices and our entire being, Father, in praise and worship to you, O Yahweh, Father. So we will lift up and praise for our sister. Her presence will be missed today, Father, as she spends time with her family. But, Father, we're going to praise your name, Father, because you blessed us with life today, Father, so that we could praise you, so that we could lift up our voices, Father, and to say hallelujah, Father, with all our being, Father, and just to say Todah Yahweh, for blessing us with life today, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Kol Shabbat, family. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. How's everybody? Tov Me'od, yes, Tov Me'od indeed. You know, when I tell you the hardest part of every day, the part we can't control. Once we open our eyes, everything else is in our power. In our power to make it through that day, as Yahweh gives us strength, all we have to do is rely on Him. You know, so I'm going to be reaching. Oh, and first of all, Shabbat Shalom to everybody who may be tuning in or who may tune in later. It's your brother Ahava, and we are starting the next series of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed. it's been a while since the last time I've been up here, since November. You know, a whole lot goes on in between those 12 weeks between your rotation, and come to mind so many things you want to talk about, so many things that you experience, good, bad, and in between, you know, and not wanting to miss starting off with the with my rotation, I made sure I took off 2 days in order to ensure that a work hazard would not get in my way. So as long as I made it through Wednesday, I was like, hallelujah, I'm good. You know, as you know, I work at the hospital, and my job is patient transportation, and oftentimes, you know, it is our responsibility to escort the living as well as those who have departed. And as much as I try to avoid it and delegate those responsibilities, sometimes it falls in my lap. As much as I don't like to do it, because it puts me out, and not that, you know, I have any fear or anything or apprehension of doing it, other than the fact that it puts me out for 7 days, and you know, that's never it's never a good feeling, you know, to be out for those reasons. But, you know, experienced a few things this week. Just coming up here, an employee of mine, a young lady, 37 years old, died of a heart attack. You know, somebody I personally had hired, and she, you know, moved on from my department and, you know, came into work that morning and really, to be honest, never left. And I remember, you know, old Gershom and Daniel telling us that, you know, you may lace your shoes up in the morning, but there's no guarantee that you'll be the one to untie that night.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we take so many things for granted, and, you know, we get so caught up in so many things that, you know, we forget, you know, what is most important and what's most precious to us, man. And, you know, and when the scriptures say, you know, life is like a vapor, it's here one moment, gone the next. I mean, that's real. That's real. That's truth, and that's honesty. That's Torah right there. And, you know, and I often remember, you know, I would see this young lady several times throughout the week as she was leaving. And, you know, one of the things I really try to take out of my vocabulary is see you tomorrow or even see you later, because that's when you think about it, in its essence, it's a very arrogant statement, because you're not guaranteed to see somebody the next moment. You know, she didn't think that when she left her house that day at 37 years old that she would not see her two sons again, ever, or they would not see her. She left behind a mother, a father, and two children at 37 years old. You know, come to find out, investigating a little bit, you know, what happened, so she had what was going on. You know, she was experiencing headaches for like 2 weeks, you know, and, you know, I wanted to text the, you know, the family and say, look, if you got aches and pains, man, don't ignore it. You know, especially if it's anywhere in your body. It could be something as simple as your pinky toe. If you're experiencing chronic pain, get it taken care of. Get it looked at. You know, give yourself an opportunity to at least have it investigated and have the doctor say, oh, well, you know, clear, not clear, whatever. And not that we put our faith in these doctors, but possibly if those headaches she was experiencing was a warning sign and if she got on top of it, there's a possibility that maybe they could have caught something. You know, that could have possibly, you know, changed the outcome. Who knows? We don't know. I don't want to get into speculation because Yahweh is the one who ultimately says, you doing this, you're going to have another day, you're not going to. You're going to have another one, you're not going to have another one. But, you know, just hearing that was like, wow, you here at a hospital, you mean you can't take 5 minutes out of your day, you know, to go somewhere and get yourself checked out? You know, but that's the society we live in, that it just keeps us going and going and going. And by the time you decide to get some help, you're at stage critical, you know. And, you know, we often, you know, talk about some people being, you know, hypochondriac. I think that many times, you know, even my wife has said, you know, she's seen the boys in a particular state and, like, you know, well, I'm going to call the doctor. And I'm like, call a doctor for what? You know, hey, all right, you know, some school here, make it. I used to go to school with headaches and aches and pains and all that type of stuff. You know, she took them to the doctor, come to find out. Oh, yeah, you got an infection. Oh, you got this infection. And I feel like, oh, man, God. You know, but I'm under the impression that he's being primed right. You know, it's really saying this hurting me all right. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that one right there, you know, Yeah, you. He was at his. They was out one of the days they were out of school. Mother-in-law calls me up. He in the background bawling. He was fine early that morning. Nothing was wrong with him. Took him to the doctor to find out what was going on. He got an infection. But he was cool up until that morning. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you never know how these things work. But, you know, saying all of that, you know, that as Yahweh lead and guide us, man, you know, this is a blessing. Every moment is a blessing. You guys can sit over on the side, right? The men sit up in the first two rows. Shabbat shalom, gentlemen. All right, good to see y'all. Yeah. So, you know, but we're going to be reading from Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter today. You know, another thing, you know, like I said, you know, just going to open up by sharing some things. You know, my brother now, you know, we were talking, because oftentimes, you know, we get, you know, we get the, you know, we on the, you know, the group chats or whatever, we get to talking, and sometimes a video, you know, will come up, and, you know, you see a video, and you look at it, and Yahweh, you know, laid something on my heart about, you know, preparation and all that type of stuff, because sometimes I think what happens is we struggle with, you know, should we, shouldn't we, are we lacking faith if we do, are we not sure of faith if we don't, you know, what should we do as far as that's concerned? Well, how many of us in here have experienced a blackout? By show of hands. You never experienced a blackout? Did lights have them at all? Yeah, that one, I'm saying, you know, when I remember, you know, growing up in New York, we had a major blackout. Matter of fact, it was on one of the shows that we watched on Netflix. I went through that with my daughter. And I remember it being black, like, super, yes, sir. Yes, we have, sir. Yes, we have. As a matter of fact, you know, he knows a couple of, you know, it seems like for whatever reason, whenever the storms hit, we get out. Wire fell down our backyard, you know, or whatever. You know, but when it comes down to preparedness, there should always be, first of all, let's understand this. Yes, we are believers. Yes, we do have faith. But it doesn't show a lack of faith if you have preparedness for certain adverse events. That's basic life. Things are going to happen. Some things you cannot avoid. You know, BGE go down on my block, that's just the way it is. If a tree falls down, that's just the way it is. If, especially if it's in the event of a storm or something like that, it may take a week for them. I remember the last storm we had. Matter of fact, we had just left Bible study. I remember that bad storm came through. Come to find out it was a low-grade hurricane that hit Baltimore City or whatever. We was at Bible study. Now, Yahweh protected me to get home, but guess what? Because trees fell down. I sent y'all the pictures. Big trees fell down. Where I live at, we got them huge oak trees. I don't know why. You know, because it's not practical to have these huge trees in residential areas that when they fall down, they're going to kill somebody. But, you know, Yahweh prevented me from one of those trees falling down as I made my way home that night, because by the time I got home, the lights was already out. By the time I hit Northern Parkway coming back from my brother's house, the lights was gone throughout the whole, the rest of my ride home. And even with the high beams on and everybody, it was black. Couldn't avoid that. You know, Yahweh protected me from the adversities that could have came along with that. But the happenings as far as, you know, like the power outage, guess what? I had to be prepared. They didn't come turn my lights on for a week. BGE didn't get me back on for a week. Everything went bad in the house. Because it was, remember, it was late spring, early summer at that point. Point is, you should have flashlights. You should have storage. You should have non-perishables. You should have these things just in case those things happen. Now, because that's just life, period. It got nothing to do with you being a believer. It's just the way things are. We live here. We live in this society. If, as long as you're dependent on BGE, water, and all that type of stuff, something can happen that's out of your control, period. Can't avoid it. Now, on the other hand, there's the preparedness about persecution, about your faith. That's different. That's an entirely different scenario. When that sort of thing starts to happen, guess what? There ain't going to be no preparing for that. There may be the warning signs leading up to it, because the word says that there's going to be these warning signs that's going to take place. And when you see these warning signs, know it's coming. Prepare yourself mentally. Prepare yourself spiritually. And yes, prepare yourself physically, because Yahushua said, run. Get to going. That's what he said, period. He didn't say, oh, wait. As a matter of fact, he said, you know what? When you see this, don't go back and get a coat. Pray that it ain't on Shabbat. Pray it in the winter. Get to going. I remember when 9/11 happened down at the hospital. I was a security supervisor at the time. and to see everybody scrambling around. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to go back that far. When they had the quote-unquote earthquake a couple years ago and all the cell towers went down. Remember that? Remember that? Just a couple years back, right? With Torrey Smith, he ran off the screen and he sent the rumble from the Ravens. Remember that? Okay, remember the cell towers stopped working. And everybody scrambling to make calls, scrambling to make calls. Oh, so busy signal. You know, in the situations like that, yeah, we can get earthquakes in Maryland. Since I've been in Maryland, we've had two earthquakes. So it can happen. So there is basic preparedness you have to have on that side. But when it comes to now being a believer, guess what? He says, man, just run. Get low. Start praying. Because they're hunting for you. They're hunting for you. Now, if you want to go out like Nat Turner, go out like Nat Turner and get Nat Turner's reward. If that's what you want to do, stand up and fight. But Yahushua say, he ain't say, go grab a bunch of rocks, go get your gun, go get your Glock, go get your AK, don't get this. He said, just be out because they're coming for you. Right or wrong. You could have all the stockpiles of this, that, and the third that you want. But if you can't get to it and he tell you don't go back and get it, what good is that stockpile to you? In that situation. So we got to make sure that we keep everything in context. Sure, anything jump out, you should have something, some type of contingency plan, some type of method of getting things together, keeping some state of normalcy. But there's going to be a time when things are going to be very abnormal. You know, another thing I want to touch on is sometimes, you know, you have these people, I'm going to go through the outline of what Yahweh placed on my heart to talk about for the next 6 weeks. And it all goes to trusting and believing one in Yahweh. Secondly, trusting and believing in those who he has ordained to speak his word. Because not everybody, you know, unquote, Bible. Because anybody can pick it up, everybody thinks that they can be the one that has the understanding and the authority to teach from it, when that's not the case. That's something that is a specific gift to specific people that come from the Creator and the Creator alone. And just because somebody can get on YouTube, just because somebody can get on Blog Talk, just because somebody can get on any type of social media, doesn't mean that they are actually speaking the truth all the time. That's a fact. And just because somebody says this is biblical doesn't necessarily mean that it's biblical. They got people thinking all kinds of stuff. For example, you know, this man said, I watched the video and I said, I'm gonna put it to the test. I'm gonna see if what he's talking about is true. He said, guaranteed. On February 15th, Donald Trump is going to institute a state of emergency for the border wall, and that's when the collapse is going to begin. Well, guess what? This is when people get into fear-mongering and what people don't know about just simple process in the United States government. If you knew and understood, guess what? He can do that all he wants. But he even told you when he was going to do it, what was going to happen. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to get caught up in this. It's going to get caught up in that. So even though he implemented it on the 15th, there are checks and balances in the government that said, nah, son, you can say all you want about the 15th, and it may appeal to your base, to those degenerates who believe in what you say. But it ain't really going to happen in reality. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Because y'all just had an incident the other day, too, didn't you, Sam? With that whole Momo thing, huh? Yeah, you know? Yeah, so, you know, everything somebody say, just because it sounds good, don't necessarily mean that it's, you got to hold on to what this person, and once you do that, the more you do that, you chip away at people's, people get what's called alarm fatigue. And what alarm fatigue means is, the more you say, alarm, alarm, alarm. It's like the boy who cried wolf. The more you hear it now, it's like, oh, okay. And I believe it's a divide of Hasatan, because then when the men of Yahweh start to come up and start to talk about the truth about what's going to happen, just another set of people talking, just another set of people running their mouth, what I need to listen to them for. You know what I'm saying? But just with that, you know, we got to be careful with a lot of the stuff that we follow. But I wanted to just go over the outline real quick with everybody for the next six Shabbats.
Right.
So that we know where we're going. So, this Shabbat, we're going to talk about a message from Moshe. I'm just going to read from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, and just go over some things that, you know, I think that chapter speaks to where we are specifically here at this congregation. Yahweh willing, that Shabbat, nothing is secret to the prophets. We're going to look at Amos 3:7, because Yahweh says specifically, I'm not going to do anything unless I reveal it to the prophets. And we're going to see at the end of this chapter, he's going to tell you, look, what I give you is yours for you and your sons. But what I keep to myself,
man,
I ain't revealing to nobody. If Yahushua himself, when they said, well, when are you coming back? They said, no man know the day or the hour. I don't even know that.
Right.
So you mean to tell me that there are some things that even Yah himself keeps from his son,
man,
his only begotten, his beloved? This is the words of Yahushua. We either believe it or we don't.
Man.
Simple as that. Yah, we went the next Shabbat after that, the fourth day in astronomy. Because that was an issue that came up a couple of weeks back. You know, if Yahweh say he gave the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years, who is mankind? Who gives mankind the authority to make any change to that? Period. It's so funny because watching the news this morning, the thing came across the changing of the time, and it's talking about what we're about to experience tomorrow and what was the purpose of it all. You know, at the end of the day, the myth behind it was, oh, they did it for agricultural reasons so that the people could have more time to do agriculture and all that type of stuff. That's a lie.
Come on now.
The Germans implemented this in Germany during World War I for economic and war reasons, period, point blank. And the United States, being the capitalistic, greedy nation that it is, said, you know what, they're making money off of it. Let's make money off of it, too. And do you know that Congress actually has a bill called the Sunshine Act that they're implementing that by Marco Rubio so that this could be a permanent fixture that we will never go back to quote-unquote standard time, that we'll always be in this daylight saving time. And you know what they said in this school? For safety, so people could be more active. You ever heard the old adage that the third reason is the real reason why? If you give somebody three reasons, well, why do you do such? Well, I do it because of this, because of this. The second reason I did it because of this. And the third reason, they said the last reason is really the main reason. You know what the last reason was that they gave? For economic viability. So along, guess what people want to do? Spend more money. Because they said straight up, it's not for the farmers. Because the farmers depend solely on sunlight. And one of the things that we even talked about last year as we moved into this year, that Yahweh stopped the days earlier. Why? So that you can get your butt up earlier when we were agricultural people. Get yourself out in that field and get the ground ready. Get your food ready. Get your cattle ready. Get your goats ready. Get all your livestock ready. Yeah, we implemented a system that works perfectly already. Man, don't touch it.
That's right.
But because it's so funny, I was on one of my online buddies. I spent a lot of time online gaming. And we were talking about horses because his name is Farrier Rich. Sorry, I don't need to put his name out there like that. But I said, well, I thought his last name was Farrier. He said, no. A farrier is a horseshoer. That's the fancy name for somebody who makes horseshoes. And that's what he does. So the interest. So he's got horses and all that type of stuff. And we were talking the other day just about horses, and he was schooling me on some horses and stuff. But I love horses. I love livestock. I want to be a farmer. And he said he doesn't understand to this day why mankind had made the move from using horses and buggies to going to cars. He said, I have never spent as much money on one sick horse than I do on one thing on my car. He said not one thing on his car is less expensive to fix when it goes down than to take care of one of his horses, to take it to the vet, get it looked at, get it medicine, get it treated, get it vaccinations. He said nothing is more expensive than a car. He said they're easy to take care of. You don't even have to just have them graze in the grass. And they're good. Get on some water every once in a while. They're good. Keep their stable clean, and they're good. Keep their horseshoes on, and they're good. No oil changes, none of that stuff. He says he doesn't understand. He said his horse is more dependable than his car. He got a new car. Imagine that now. So why do we, and we got to talking. Because of industry. Because of industry. Simple as that. Because of industry and technology. And what does technology mean, my brother? Huh? Dumbing people down. That's all technology does. technology dumbs you down and makes you dependent on it to the point where you feel like you can't live without it. It retards you. It stunts your growth. That's what technology does. Because I remember an era when I didn't even have a phone. Then we got a phone. So we stopped going to see one another because now I can pick up the phone and call you. I don't need to go across town to see you. I can stay in the house and talk to you and catch up. Now we don't even have to call each other. All we got text. How you? We don't even have to have face-to-face time. Don't think that's for a reason? You don't think that's for a reason? But anyway, I'm digressing. I told you I had a lot I wanted to talk about. I wanted to share with y'all. You know? And I am actually eventually going to get to what I'm supposed to be teaching. But I think I left off. The fourth day in astronomy. Bereshit 1:14-19. You know, and this one, you know, I was pleasantly surprised at what some of the things that Yahweh showed me, because it's right there in His Word. Every answer to every question we got is right there in the Word. If you don't believe it, because you ain't studying and Yahweh ain't revealed it to you. Because I'm going to tell you, when He says there's nothing new under the sun, He means there's nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean? One of the things that Abba helped me realize, even about the, you know, the pyramids and stuff about Egypt, and how they try to say, oh, it couldn't have been Egypt. And I'm not an Egyptologist. I'm anti-Egypt. They the enemy of my forefathers. They enemies of mine. But we cannot deny the fact that they were a system, the first quote-unquote world power that even Yahweh in His Word acknowledges, right? And they built these fabulous things that people try to attribute to alien technology and all that type of stuff. No. They just tap into a knowledge, and the knowledge, and the reason why they said it is because the Europeans can't figure out how they did it. You see what I'm saying? So it got to be alien technology, because ain't nothing on Earth smarter than us. You see what I'm saying? No, but we're going to see in His Word. See, what Yahweh did was, not only did he made sure that whatever knowledge they had, nobody would stumble upon. You see, that's when you really beat a man down. You beat the brains out of them. You see, he took the intellect from them too. Took the intellect that Egypt had from the world, because they was a wise nation. So wise they thought they was wiser than Yahweh. You see what I'm saying? But Yahweh had to show him, no, I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to take my people out. I'm not going to burn you down. I'm going to make sure that all the knowledge that you took pride in is gone off this planet forever. To the point where they're going to scratch their heads about it 1,000 years later and say, got to be aliens, because can't no way dumb people could have done it back then. Yes, they did do it back then. They did, without all your cranes and your, what's the big one? The Hitachi, big motorized vehicles. They didn't need all of that back then. Shows we don't even need it now. See? But anyway, next Shabbat after that, the heathens are enraged. Psalms 2:1-4. Because they are. They rising up. The next Shabbat after that, Yahweh's willing, identifying the synagogue of Satan. And we're going to look at Revelations 2:9. And hopefully the last Shabbat, just around the time of Pesach and Yah's children. We're going to look at Yehuchanan, John 1:12. All right, family. So, without further ado, I'm going to get to reading. And I hope everybody is good. I hope everybody is good. We're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 29th chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the entire chapter. You know, Yahweh, you know, reading up on this and just going back through times of Yisrael and the stuff they put Moshe through, the stuff they put Yahweh through and still do. Moshe knew these people. Moshe knew Yisrael. He knew and understood them. They were his children too. He was intimate with these people. There was nothing about these people and their nature that he did not know. And as he's departing, because once you start to get into the later chapters, first of all, Deuteronomy is all Moshe. Moshe espousing in his own words about what Yahweh had showed him, and the accounts and all that type of stuff. And another thing, you know, Yahweh had placed in my heart to really help us to understand is stop looking at this as just the Bible. It's not just the Bible. See, this is a history. This is a history book of God for the true people of. But see, Everybody wants this. And as we just went through the Maccabees, you see, this is something that is coveted by all the other nations, to have a relationship with the power of the universe. The power of the universe. This is something that is coveted by everybody except Yisrael. Except the people he revealed himself to. It's coveted by everyone. All the people that we dislike. And you know what? They know it and they understand it. That's why they can use this thing and in the mastery they have against us. So if you want to know how to overcome, as I think it was posted by some, but how do we overcome these problems? How do we get past these problems? Sure, you know, economic power and all that is great. It is great. And understanding your dollar and putting your dollar to use and doing this with the dollar and doing that with the dollar. But guess what Yahweh said in his word and researching? He said, you know what? I'm the one who gives you the power to get this wealth.
Right.
But if you forget that I am the one who gave you the power to do this wealth, and you forget my word and you forget what I've talked to you about, guess what? All your wealth don't mean nothing. Because
right.
I'm going to take it from you. And we can talk all this economic power and all this that we want, but if the people of Yahweh can't get it together with the relationship that with him, it don't mean nothing. There's plenty of dollars in the black community. We got black billionaires. Hey, Dr. Dre a billionaire. And off of beats. Cannabis real good. You know, he done made himself into a billionaire. Off of gangster rap. Caused him to be a billionaire. The first black American billionaire. Because there's other black billionaires around the world. They all African, though. They're African. As far as black American billionaires, we ain't got a whole lot of them. Oprah won. I think Tyler Perry won. All off of polluting the minds of black people. So there's money in the black community because we support them. We can say one thing about Oprah. We can say one thing about Tyler. But definitely Dr. Dre made his millions off the black community, off the hood. The hood life. That's what he claimed to say. That was his come up. Sending them beats. What is it? The world famous Wrecking Crew. That's what he started off. Anyway. So, the black economic power is nothing without the Torah. Period. Sounds good. Good speeches. Love to hear. And I agree with it. Brother Sean Barrett agrees with it 100% as far as the political side of me goes. But the spiritual side of me says, sounds good on paper. But in reality, and that's why I really like that whole trigger warning series. Because he showed at the end for all you want. You can want to do and have your perfect utopian society all you want. But guess what? If people ain't going to fall in a particular line, which there's always going to be that one who wants to go to the beat of his own drum, it's all for nothing. And if you can't do it, if it's hard for Israel, who has the Torah as their anchor, because I don't think there's not one person, whether you believe in Yahushua or you don't believe in Yahushua, whether you believe in we should possess the land, whether you believe we shouldn't possess the land, that would not say that the Torah should be our constitution. But how do you even get people to agree upon that? You can't get brothers to agree upon that? Can't you, brother? No, you can't. No, you can't. And I'm saying that from personal experience. You can't. Because humans are humans, and we're going to do what humans do. Because guess what? Israel, even when Yahweh was guiding them, fire by night, cloud by day, they couldn't agree with Moshe and Yahweh. So what makes one brother think that he's going to get them all to fall in line? If Yahweh himself couldn't do it. But anyway, Deuteronomy 29, first chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the good old King James Version. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moshe to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moshe called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations his thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet Yahweh hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. What is he saying right there? Blind, deaf, and dumb. Period. Even you want to fast forward to when Yahushua was on the scene? Show us the Father. All this time I've been with you and y'all haven't seen the Father? Huh? All this time I've been with you and y'all perception, y'all can't see into that? I've done miracles. This is after the loaves of bread and fish and all that. And they said, man, show us the Father. We want to see Daddy. Show us Daddy. Hmm? Show us Abba. And he said, hold up. Man, I'm with you all this time. You ain't seen that yet. Because guess what? Just like now. Huh? It's always been Israel's problem. They don't have an eye to perceive, an ear to hear. And see, this is the thing why a lot of people try to discount when we say revelation. It has to come from the source. You ain't coming up with it on your own. Because Israel, who was being, they heard his voice. He said, Horeb, Sinai, the same thing. Hmm? That's where they heard the voice. They heard the thunder, the lightning. They said, stop! Hmm? So they know. This is the generation that knows better. And wait a minute, y'all. 9:4. Yet Yahweh hath not given you. Look it up in the Hebrew. It says it's a gift from Yahweh. Yahweh hath not given you a heart to perceive, and ears to see, eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. So now he's saying, I'm going to open it up for you. I'm going to reveal it to you. Hmm? But this is what he got to start. I led you 40 years in the wilderness. And your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes not waxing old upon thy foot. That means they ain't had to go to no Walmart to get no clothes. They ain't had to go re-up. So even when Yahushua says, when you see that, don't go back down. Why? Because it's already been tested, tried, and has not been enough that Yahweh takes care of his people. Hmm? Anybody got anything in here older than 5 years? A piece of clothing? I do, too, but I don't wear it that often. Hmm? Anybody bought anything that broke? Hmm? Anybody in here over 40 years old? Have you had anything in your possession since you were born besides him? Yourself? Hmm? So for 40 years, I just turned 48, right? So imagine me having something since I was 8 years old. Imagine me having something since I was 8 years old. I don't have anything since I was 8 years old. Maybe a picture. My kindergarten picture. Kindergarten picture. That's what I got. That my mother had to guard because me, I would have destroyed it, I'm sure. So think about that. A whole lifetime has gone past, and they ain't had to stop nowhere to get new shoes. They ain't had to stop nowhere to get no new coat, if you believe it. If you believe it. Then on top of that, 29:6, ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink. Now, one of the things we like that we learned from our former leader was sin further. They didn't even get no seed further juice for them 40 years. See? Because Yahweh didn't want them to ever have any type of experience where they weren't sober-minded. He wanted them in a state of sobriety. He wanted their minds to be clear from they wasn't blunted out. They wasn't smoking no loud, no Pineapple Express. They wasn't drinking no Henny. They wasn't drinking no Yayin. They wasn't drinking none of that. For 40 years, their minds were sober. To them, that way, they couldn't say, I got so high. Boy, I started to hear his voice up there. Yeah. They can't say that.
Right.
I got so drunk, I looked into the cup, and I thought to see the face of the mighty one. Nope. No, sir. No, sir. He wanted them sober the whole time. As a matter of fact, they ain't even have to do this. Grind it up. Knead it up. Give me some water. Give me some olive oil. Give me some butter. Give me this. They didn't even have to make their own bread for 40 years and 40 nights. So it couldn't even be said that somebody slipped something in their bread. See what I'm saying? So it couldn't even be said that, oh, man, they put something in your bread. See? That bread was over-fermented. Bread ferments. Jailhouse hooch, you need bread in order to ferment it. You know. He said it, not me. Right? You need bread for that jailhouse hooch, didn't you? Okay, then. So you can get high off of that bread. You see what I'm saying? So y'all would say, you ain't even going to have bread up in there. Nope. Y'all ain't going to use the jailhouse hooch trick on me. Say that, we made our own bread and that's how. No, sir. Neither have you drunk wine back to 29:6, that ye may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. 29:7. And when you came unto this place, Sikon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them, their land, and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Now, what he says, 29:9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all ye do. So if you want black prosperity, keep the covenant of Yahweh. Be his person and let him be your God. But nobody talks that. Nobody talk, but you, and that, see, that type of economic empowerment ain't going to work for the people of Yahweh because it's absence of it. The essence of it is absent of it. It might work for some people. It might. It might work for some people. It definitely works for the man. It works for him. And anybody who is in league with the man, it works for him. Because guess what? He's done what he needed to do to get the gifts from his God. He's done it. He's been his allegiance. He's been his allegiance. Thank you. I won this Grammy Award. Thank you, Jesus. I win the Super Bowl. Thank you, Jesus. I win the Olympic medal. Thank you, Jesus. That's what granting you all them wishes. And he can do that. Because guess what? The adversary came to the master himself and said, I'll give you all of this.
Right.
I'll give you all of this. So that means it's his to give. Anything in this world system is his to give because he got it, but not for the believers. The wise man said, lean not upon thine own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in all your ways, and he will direct your path. That's the first step. Rashid, Kachma, Yerat, Adonai, the beginning of wisdom is fear of Yahweh, reverence of Yahweh. That's where you begin at. But none of these people talk that. Matter of fact, most of them, you go up there and you try to tell them, bring them to, nah, I won't hear that. I won't hear, don't talk that Bible talk to me, man. That's the same thing that been enslaving us. No, that's not what been enslaving us. That's not what been enslaving us. 29:9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, your captain of your tribe, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel. What that say? All the men of Israel, okay? And until I am told to stop talking it, I will emphasize every time the men of Israel. He talks to the men of Israel. Okay? Then you, the men, will talk to your little ones, your wives, thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. That was 29:11, 29:12. That thou shouldest enter into the covenant with Yahweh that Elohim and his oath, which Yahweh that Elohim maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself. So that's the first thing he wants us to do. First and foremost, love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's got to be the first step. That's got to be the first step. Otherwise, it's for naught. It's not what I'm, especially if you claim to know Yahweh and you claim to be a believer, you claim to be amongst the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Look what happens when you don't have the Torah as your guide. You get busted for tax evasion up on 126th Street. I lived in New York. Harlem was the mecca of black thought. That's where I first met Hebrew Israelites. It was up in Harlem, 125th Street, right in front of the Apollo Theater. I first saw the church. I first saw all of that. All of that. But look where they at now. Look where they at now. Yahweh said that if you follow the prophet, he said, look, man, and even Yahushua said, look, when they went to him and said, hey, should we pay taxes? Do we have to pay taxes? We believe it. We believe in you. We believe in the Torah. That, they were looking for their way out of the system. That Yahweh said, I'm going to put you in this system because y'all didn't like my system. When y'all had my system, y'all rejected my system. So now I put you in this system. And guess what? You didn't want to pay tithes to me. Tithes was a burden. Now you got to pay taxes. So they think they're going to pull a move on Yahushua and say, yo, right here, should I pay my taxes? Hey, bro, Yahushua, should I pay my taxes, man? And he said, who face on it? You like, I think it's Augustus Caesar. Give it back to Caesar. His name is face on it. His face on it, that means it's his. Simple as that. I got George Washington as the big one. Abraham Lincoln, the brown one. I can't remember who won the nickel and the dime. Huh? Hamilton, huh? Okay. Hamilton, he was a slave owner. He on the 20s, right? That's the one on the 20s? And Benjamin Franklin is on the 100s. I know that because it's called the Benjamins, right? They all white men from America that built this system. So you pay them. It's their money you carry around their pocket. That's why they face on it. Simple as that. You ain't going to con the con. Not in this system. And Yahweh ain't no con man. Yahweh straight up. He one of them dudes that straight up. Yahweh is straight up. He don't hide nothing. He revealed the Bible to the world, right? And showed the whole world what Israel did. Right or wrong? Everybody can read about what we did wrong right here in the Bible. Right or wrong, brother? He don't hide that. He ain't about trickery and chicanery. He ain't got to rob you. He ain't got to rob you your land. It's his land anyway. It's his land anyway. And he imparts it to who he wants to impart it to. And he told our father Abraham, the land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, I'm giving it to you and your children. It's his. So we ain't had to take it. And then on top of that, we ain't even really have to fight for it. We just had to be willing to show up. Then we just learned that in the Maccabees. We just learned that in the Maccabees. Just willing to show up. And you don't have to fight. Hey man, I'm going to put my armor on you. Now just go out there and walk through the enemy. We just either we believe it or we don't. Either we believe it or we don't. But that's the word. That angel put his armor on the Maccabee and told him just walk through. He sent another angel down that had a whole array of weapons to pick from to slay the enemy for us. So we ain't fighting. We just got to show up. That's all we got to do. As simple as that. But do we believe? Back to 29:11. Your little ones, your wives, and thy strangers that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood, the hewer of thy wood, unto the draw of thy water. That thou, 29:12, that thou shouldest enter into the covenant with Yahweh the Elohim and enter his oath. And when y'all have some time, look at the oath. Matter of fact, let me do it. Swearing of it. The saying, I accept it. And that word is 423 and strong, and it is Allah, an imprecation, curse, cursing, execration, oath, swearing, saying, now, I agree to do this. If I don't do this, then I'm going to pay the consequence of it. Because that's the whole point of the covenant. If you will accept me as your God, I will be your people. Just think about that. Yahweh said, I want you to accept me as your power, as your mighty one. But now he said, now, if you agree to this, guess what's going to happen? What happens if you break an oath, if you break your word? What happens in the world if you're found in breach of a contract? If you get into an agreement with one party and another party and say, I agree to do this, and you agree to do this, if one party breaches that, what happens? There's a penalty. There's a judgment for breach of contract. Unfortunately, we got into a contract with Yahweh, and we breached it, and the part of reaching me now, you will know I got to put you away. I got to separate myself from you. I got to let you figure it out on your own. And sadly, we're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure it out. Everybody talking about 400 years, it's 400, 2019, man, 400 years, man, you can get a breakthrough. No. 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 No, because black people, especially Israel ain't got it together.
Love.
I dare to say the average black person got it better together than Israel. Because Israel trying to find reasons to be at odds with one another.
Love.
We do. Just that's why I can't be on Facebook with that foolishness no more.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Yeah, because if one Israelite say, Alice, the next one's going to say, Tom, why? Just because he said Alice? I got to be an opposite. I got to stand in opposition. I got to find a reason to disagree. That's not the mentality of the people of Yahweh's people. Not supposed to be. He said, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh at God. So how could that be a mantra of Yahweh and his people are so divided? Because some people don't believe it. Simple as that. Simple as that. Because they have not adhered to the covenant. Because the covenant is supposed to be about unity. But just like when some real estate classes you learn about dying, testate and intestate. Testate means you died with a will. Intestate means you died without a will. But guess what? Even a will doesn't guarantee the family members ain't going to fight over your positions once you die. As a matter of fact, it's worse fighting. Because now everybody wants to contest the will. Whereas if you die intestate, then the government comes in and says, we just going to divide it up. Who the oldest? Me. All right, well, you get this. Who the youngest? Me. Well, then you get this. Seriously, you fight more black people. I ain't going to put it this on us. We fight more over the will, a person who their possessions in the will, because we feel slighted in some way. We feel like, well, why he get that? Why I ain't get that? Whereas when the man steps in and says, you get this and you get that, okay. Okay, I take it. You mean the car don't work? All right, I'll get it towed off the lot. Whereas now if it was, nah, man, nah, you won't pay for that. See, we'll rail against each other, but we'll never rail against that man. Because when that gavel come down and judgment come down, guess what happens? You better do what they want you to do. Or unless you're one of the people that like bars. You like being a jailbird, then by all means, don't listen, because you got people who are like that. I'd rather go to jail than listen to you, judge. And the judge says, fine. Have at it. You got people who like jail. Just like you got, as we learned, you got some Israelites who like being discontented, who like being contentious, who like working for the man. We saw that all throughout Maccabees. And their names was good names, too. Tobiah, he was one of the main ones wanting to work for the man. Yah, it's not good. Can't be that good. If you're working for the man against Israel, if you're selling Israel out the whole time, can't be. Hmm? 29:12. That thou shouldest enter into the covenant with Yahweh thy Elohim and into his oath, which Yahweh thy Elohim maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a power, a God, an Elohim, as he hath said unto thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov. 29:14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before Yahweh your Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Huh? So he letting you know you ain't getting out of this. Isn't that what he said? So everybody who carrying around, all the men who's carrying around seed, that same oath has followed us from way thousands of years ago. So all of us in here today that's being called out, guess what? We got an example of it in the preamble of the Constitution, because when they said to us, when they say in there, not just for us, but our posterity, You know what your posterity, anybody know what your posterity is? Your future generation. So when they rob this land, they wasn't just robbing it for themselves. They're robbing it for all the people that want to make America great again. They got a fair argument because they know the Constitution. And they're like, when our father stole this land, he ain't stealing for the Mexicans. He ain't stealing for the slaves. He ain't stealing for none of them. He stole it for us. So they got a fight. That's why his speech resonates with so many of them. Because they remember. Because if they don't know nothing else, they know that when we come to steal something, we ain't just stealing it for today. We stealing it for tomorrow. We stealing it for next week. We stealing it for hundreds of years down the line. Right. So when he says to them, MAGA, they're like, yeah! Take this country. Take this country back. Let's make it our own again. Let's re-implement Jim Crow. They want to do all that. That's why, let's set up the border. Come on now. First of all, we got a state called the New Mexico. Because we jacked the old Mexico. The old Mexico. And they had the Spanish American War. Remember the Alamo? We can beat the bricks off of them. I went down on what you call it, the Alamo. I was so disappointed. I was in, San Antonio, Texas. And you said you're going to the Alamo because they'd be like, yeah, come to the Alamo. They got the Riverwalk and the Alamo down in San Antonio. I went down there for a business trip. So I walked over to the Alamo and I'm like, dang, Army. What's the Army up by, by State Center? Oh, 5th Regiment Army looked better than the Alamo. And that was old. The jailhouse. Down when the man used to work, looks better than the Alamo. No lie. Anybody ever been there to see it? It's disappointing. But they hold on to Custer's last name. They still salty over that. That's why they building the wall. That's why they want that wall, because the Alamo didn't do it. Because that was during the Spanish-American War. These people don't forget this stuff. You got Asians who have not forgotten wars that they have had amongst their groups from centuries ago. People don't forget that. Don't think they forgot. The Neo-Egyptians still mad about what our God did to them. So as the new Israelites rise up, you got the new Egyptians rising up, and they constantly at odds with us. Why? Because our God just spoiled their forefathers being God. They done turned their good city into a ghetto. They can't blame it on us because Yahweh took us out of there. It got ghetto-fied after we left. We kept it nice and neat. We were the worker bees in there. We kept the sphinxes clean. This was our job. We kept it looking tidy. While we was there, it was good. Once we rolled out, kind of ruined. Ain't like how we be nowadays, though. Nowadays, bro, we roll up in your community. They start balling out. And now we going to leave. Y'all come in, we going to leave. We heard about y'all. But what happens is because we don't have Yahweh, you know, it was the opposite. But while we was in Egypt, Egypt was blessed. Anyway, 29, I think, 15. But with him that standeth here, with us this day before Yahweh our Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dealt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. Them nations, when they heard Israel was coming, or rather the God of Israel and his children coming, they got low. Oh, we heard about y'all. We heard about your God. Because there was nothing to see. Especially in the wilderness, because they wasn't even warriors yet. They were still farmers. So there was nothing to be feared. But their God said, oh, you mess with one of my kids? Well, I'll fight you. You think you're bad? I'm going to fight you. And when Yahweh fights you, we didn't see him. If he put them hammers on you, we'll mess with my kids. Well, my kids is right. Don't mess with my kids. That's how Yahweh is. It said 29:16, for you know how we have dealt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed, And you've seen the abominations and the idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Y'all seen all that stuff. And they still got these idols to this day. 29:18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from Yahweh thy Elohim to go and to serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness and thirst. Isn't that what we're doing as a community? See, when a man puts a video out there and says, we can do this and we can do that, and he is saying in his heart, we have the power, that's he's violating that right there. Because he's not saying first and foremost, you know what we need to do, y'all? Well, nobody ever starts out like that. Nobody. I ain't never hear Dick Gregory talk about that. I ain't never hear not one of these people come out and say, you know, the first thing we need to do if we really want to get back economic power in this country is adhere to the Torah. You can hear everybody blocking their clips. You can hear everybody changing their gun. You come out there and say, yeah, first thing we need to do is the Torah. You can hear the gun go, whoa, what you say? Nobody want to hear that. But that's what Yahweh say. You really want to prosper? You want to, you want, first of all, we've had the Negro Leagues. We've had our own basketball league. Just because they wouldn't let us have certain things, we, at a time when they kept us separated, he showed we can prosper. And see, this is why there is Yaakov, and that's why there is Israel. See, Yaakov represents that person who has not been touched by Yahweh yet. His hip ain't been broke yet. And he was able to wrestle with the angels. So we are superhuman. They know this. They know this. First of all, what did he just learn in the Maccabees about that angel? He took his armor off, put it on the Maccabees, and he could not be touched. Arrows bouncing off of him. Swords breaking as they hit him. So when we see our forefather, he was like, yo, yeah, got you, angel. I got you. I got you. This is UFC. Oh, whoa, I got you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can't get me down, angel. And he, angel, look at me now. Look at me now. Look at me now, angel. You're going down. Get ready to take you down, angel. Get ready to take you down. And the angel said, oh, really? You think so? You think so? But he said he was subduing the angel. He was kicking up dust with it. That's the toy. Do you believe it or not? This ain't something I'm making up. This ain't no movie. This ain't Avengers Endgame. This is real life. Our forefathers wrestled against superhuman entities that we don't even see. And until that angel said, bow, teach him the lesson. So our people are mighty. There's not one invention since we've come to this nation that we have not had a part in. Even, quote unquote, going out of space. There's nothing that we haven't done. They know this about us. They know this. But as that hood street side, that ghetto side, that's not what Yahweh wants. He don't want that. He don't want the physical progress we got. He wants the spiritual humility towards him first. He wants to shine. See, even in that situation, he says, my name is John. I'm not giving my glory to another. I'm not going to let you subdue one of my angels. Just say I let him think you was going to run. You got the size of stuff? No, Once I tell him to pop, he's going to pop. Just to humble his body, humble his mind, because we saw the greatness of what Yaakov could do. So, oh, Laban, I'm here to work for you. I want your daughter, all right? I need my daughter's job. Do something for me for 7 years. So, bam, he goes out there. I'm going to do this. Made the man wealthy beyond his dreams, even though he switched the game up on him several times. Oh, yeah, well, I want them all white. I want all the white ones. Give me all the white ones. You can have the speckled ones, all right? So he gives them the white ones. Mm-hmm. Gives them all the nice, pure ones. But the speckled ones is prospering. No, hold up now. I didn't have to supposed to go on there. You ain't supposed to prosper through these different obstacles and challenges I'm putting in your way. But haven't we shown them time and time again? There is a might that we have just genetically that they covet. We were talking the other day. What we grew up as hood rat culture is now the basis fashion for every genre of music in the world today. Two dominant, the United States is giving the world hip hop culture. That dominant, all you got to do, I'm online with these rap guys. Let me guess. But every time they coming up with this rapper, that rapper, this rapper the greatest, this rapper the greatest, and they all, I'm nothing against them. I ain't nothing against them. I'm listening. I'll be listening to their flows, and I'm like, now we mumble and we going, and that's all you hear coming out of our mouth now, while they articulating. And I heard one say, yeah, me growing up in the hood, and da, 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 da. I'm like, what? What? But that just goes to show you now how they absorb, adapt, and incorporate to the point now everybody's fighting over a piece of land called Israel and don't even know that there's a people that's supposed to be called Israel. Got nothing to do with a piece of land.
Hallelujah.
But try to tell them, and try to tell my son. You're Jewish. Maybe you're Jewish. No, we're not. The Hebrews. They got some of them in their school. So they see their father the other day, you know, drop him off and got on his fringes, and you see the eyes all on, you're like, oh, wait a minute now. It's a little bit too dark. It's a little bit too dark. And the kids start scratching their mind, they go home with questions. And they say, Daddy, I saw a black guy walking around school the other day, and he had on things that he ain't got on the DC, Daddy. And, you know, and it's like, I don't understand, because he don't look like nobody to live next to him. And it's, you know, that's Ariel's dad. You know, the kid who always says, no, my name is Ariel, A-R-I apostrophe E-L, that kid. Is he the mouth even? So then it reads questions. So now in their mind, it's impossible to think of anything that believes in the Torah to be other than a face that comes out of either Russia or Germany or Poland. It's unfathomable. We're Africa. Y'all the Muslim nations down there. It's not supposed to be the black man's religion. So it's who? Says who? Says who? Who gives him the right to speak for me and everybody else? Anyway, he's digressing. 29:19, it came to pass when he hears the words of the curse and blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. 29:20, Yahweh will not spare him, but then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahweh shall blot his name out from under heaven. And you know, just even though I know this may not necessarily apply, but just look at what's going on to all these brothers out here now with money, young and old. Young and old. I watched Gayle King. Gayle was so calm, but my man going off. Y'all killing me, man. See? Cosby. Look at Bill Cosby. Kid, he's 80 something years old. They want him to die in jail.
Come on.
They want him to die in jail. He never honored Yahweh with his substance. See? And Yahweh, that's the message from Yahweh to us.
Hallelujah.
That's the message from Yahweh to us. You can have this wealth until you're 80 some odd years old. And guess what? Look at MJ. Look at MJ. You know? I mean, me growing up, I was talking to my wife about it the other day. You mean to tell me? I knew kids who could do all this. Be just like Michael Jackson. Look just like me. Why you pick them two? Why you put them to? Now look at what they're doing to. They're not even going to let you die in peace and hold on to your money. Yeah? He can't even die in peace. He's dead and they still trying to take his money. They're going to dig him out that gold casket, Because y'all know he was buried in the gold casket. They're going to dig him out of that casket and get that money from him. Think about it. That's the example that they're showing us.
Mm.
You ain't even safe when you dead if you don't honor me. Message.
Mm.
So when we talk about all this growth and empowerment that we can get, if Yahweh ain't protecting us,
right.
If Yahweh ain't got it sealed up in the bank, he said, don't store up your treasures on earth where the moth and all this stuff can come against. He said, store up your treasures in heaven. Storm up with me. It's not to say, and it's not to say that we cannot prosper. He's going to say, he's going to say that he wants us. Amen. Them people that believe in Yahweh, look at what they got. Look at how they take. Look at how they holding on in their community. He wants us to show forth his greatness. Though it can't be on our own accord and on our own, but it can't be by our own rules. It's got to be by his rules. 29:20. And Yahweh will not spare him, but then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahweh shall blot out his name from under heaven. Why? Because you did not exalt the name of Yahweh. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You see where Yahushua is even getting some of these things from. You ain't going to go out there with your face and think that you're going to do it on your own, especially if you're a believer. You better have Yahweh out in front. 29:21. And Yahweh shall separate him unto evil out of the tribes of Israel, according to the covenant that are written in this book of the law, of the Torah. That is it right there. If it's not Torah, it don't matter what you got. Your thoughts and your ideas don't mean as our old Gershaven, a Hillabane. 29:22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which Yahweh hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt. First of all, what they fighting for over there is exactly that. What they fighting for over there is exactly that. It's asphalt. It's brimstone and salt. It's a desert over there that they fighting over. Fighting over the land that Yahweh told us it was supposed to be a land flowing of milk and honey. It's not. It is not. It is not. It's supposed to be a land of full of vibrant and lush land. But it's not that. It's desolate. It's almost like somebody just moving into the hood and thinking that now, because I'm here, that it's better. No, it ain't. Y'all ain't making nobody. Y'all making it worse. Yeah. 22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, of this plague, and the sickness which, once you, first of all, you can't get no sicker in your mind. See, people look at you have to be sick in your mind is you have the biggest gay parade in all the world to see over in the quote-unquote Holy Land.
Come on,
huh?
Come on.
Okay. And that the land of the sickness which Yahweh had laid upon it, 29:23, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which Yahweh overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all the nations shall say, therefore hath Yahweh done this unto this land. What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them, when he brought them forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, for they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Because remember, Moshe said, I'm going to call heaven and earth to testify you, to testify against you today. The heaven as well as the earth is going to testify. They are a witness to testify that what I'm saying is, so they're going to spew you out on my behalf. So everybody talking about this, that, and third? No, we were kicked out of land because we didn't do right by our God. 29:26, for they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods that they knew not. We ain't know nothing about no Allah, no Buddha, no Krishna, no Jesus. We ain't know nothing about nothing. Nobody to us. 29:7. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against this land to bring upon all the curses that are written in this book. And Yahweh rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. And it ain't even happened yet. 29:29. This is the thing to bridge us into next week. And he said, the secret things belong unto Yahweh Elohim. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we will do all the words of this Torah. And the one thing, see, everybody wants to know all these deep secrets and all these mysterious things and all this type of stuff. But you know what Yahweh just showed? He revealed to us his Torah, himself, his covenant. And if we can't deal with what he made obvious to us, how? Can't wait till we get to. We went through this already in Job. But what his rebuttal to Job is so profound. And it speaks to this right here. It speaks to this right here. Because Yahweh had some very, very, very poignant questions for Job. Where was you at? And he starts everyone, where was you at? When I made the dust about, where was you at? Where was you at? Where was you at? And Job was like, now don't answer. Hold on. I got a bunch of questions I need you to answer. And we won't go through that, man. Because when I tell you, there's nothing unanswered in this word. But all you, but Yahweh has to reveal it. And it ain't something, you know, a lot of us get into. Well, I'm going to just read through. I remember somebody said, yeah, I done read the Bible like 5 times, man. Okay. Great. As they say, good on you. Good on you. It's good to read the Bible. Keep reading it. Read it. As a matter of fact, try reading it backwards now. Do it that way. But if Yahweh, if Yahweh, hey, if Yah don't reveal it, if he don't, oh, if he says it now, it's the Torah, whether you believe it or not, 29:4. He says, yet hath not given you a heart to deceive, an eye to see, an ear to hear unto this day. So he's letting them know, look, and he's left, leaves it off with, the secret things belong to me. But what I'm revealing to you, this is yours. This Torah is yours.
Right.
This Torah is yours.
Right.
What do we do with it?
Right.
Yahweh is ours. Or what do we do with it? You see what I'm saying? He just revealed two simple things to us, himself, and we said, no! You talk too loud. You're too flashy. Let Moshe speak to us.
Right.
You talk too loud. That's what he said. We can't stand the thunder and the lightning. It's too loud for us. And your luminousness is too bright for us.
Amen.
Let us speak to Moshe. Give us Moshe. Let Moshe, so now Moshe talk.
That's right.
And these are words that Moshe speaking of, because he was a friend of Yahweh.
Amen.
He had Yahweh's back, and Yahweh had his back. He had one situation where he messed up, but he didn't do what Yahweh said. Speak to the rock. Honor me. That's when Moshe messed up. But other than that, 99.9% of the time, Moshe was good. It was good. So good that when Yahweh said, you know what, I'm about to destroy you. Whoa, hold up. If you destroy these people, when you think about it now, you destroy these people. The world's going to say, man, I'm hardcore. Them people are too hard for you. You can have them. God himself can have these people. That's what Moshe told them. Look, if you destroy them, they're going to say, boy, these people's hardcore. We should have enslaved them. We should have enslaved them because you couldn't even deal with them. Slavery was the best thing for them. Anyway, that's it. I have nothing more to say. I said I wasn't going to stay long. You know, you're going to start off, and that's
what
he's willing. I pray he spare my life until then, so that we talk about nothing is secret to the prophet.
Amen.
And when he says nothing is secret, because this right here is what he revealed to him.
Amen.
And all of his secrets on this reality that we need to be concerned about is revealed to us.
Exactly.
Anything beyond that, is a foolish argument. Whether the world is flat or round, foolish argument. Whether or not this will take place, that foolish argument. Because Yahweh can tell you, he knows exactly how deep the oceans are. He knows exactly everything he's placed in this reality. Yahweh knows everything about. And he has not revealed the distance from the earth to the moon and then from the earth to the sun. He has not revealed that. So everything in the textbook is a lie. And I tell you, science books are one of the worst things that could have happened to the minds of people. Because the scientists, one, science and higher learning, whether you want to accept it or not, is a religion.
Amen.
It's a religious order with religious rights.
Amen.
And everything that we are taught is to see whether or not we are worthy enough to be within that religious order and religious rights of their scientific thinking. If you don't believe me, read the book of Daniel. Because that's what Daniel was all about. Let's take the cream of the crop. Let's check Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let's school them in the fine arts of the Babylonian way of life and the Babylonian way of thinking. But see, when we were slaves in Egypt, we was too hardcore for that. Too hardcore for that. But anyway, I'll get to running my mouth. Yes, sir.
If you look at the history of Morgan State, it started off as a biblical college.
And I will tell you one thing that I did love. You know, I got to spend a day down at Howard University and Howard University Hospital. And it was nothing because, you know, where I work at, all you see are faces of people of European descent. But to go down there and to see these faces in the same pictures, but they look like me, I will be honest, it was empowering to see, you know, pictures of when they first started. Because they had one picture, you know, at the hospital where I work at, where you see them, like, working on a cadaver, and it's all these men, you know, ain't none of us in there, but to see the opposite and see us doing that down at Howard University was powerful, man. To see them, see a bunch of doctors that look like me, it was like, whoa, because they don't show us that every day. You know, unless you go to a historically black college or university, you really don't see that, because there's no reason to show you that outside of a historically black college or university. There's no reason to show that because they're not promoting us. They don't care about us like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to talk nothing racial, because I that's not something that I adhere to. But let's talk reality and let's talk truth.
Man.
You know, there's reality and truth. You know, and a picture paints a thousand words. That's why they present pictures of and different images to make sure that our minds stay in a particular place.
Right.
You know, that's why you don't see, you know, looking, you know, doing some study and looking at different things. You know, for sure, they went on Wikipedia, and, you know, they showed a picture of Moshe, you know, and he looked like he's straight out of the anyway, he don't look like us. He ain't got no afro. He ain't got this type of beard. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got none of that stuff. So anyway, that's it for today, family. Shalom. Cocoon. So you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. And trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Rabbi, would you close it out, please?
Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood, Father, that you may all become more fit to the good and all things that are right to the left, Father. and steadfast on the narrow and the steadfast of righteousness for us.
Amen.
These things we ask humbly with the sin, in the name of y'all short, I'll stay with our Redeemer. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless those who are suffering emotionally, Heavenly Father, spiritually, even Heavenly Father, those who are suffering from physical ailments prevents them from fellowship with the saints, Heavenly Father. We pray that you pray for them and comfort them on this holy day of your Shabbat. Heavenly Father, as we enter into the second portion, we pray that you'll give to us in the mind of the Moray, who shall bring forth your Parasha this day.
Mm-hmm.
If that's according to your divine will, these things we ask come unto you. In the name of Yahushua, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our spiritual king. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.